The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 12th day of February 2023. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance. The title of the message tonight is The New Old Religion. You say, well, the new old religion? Yeah, well, the reason for that is here we're seeing a revival, or we've seen a revival, I should say, of earth worship, the so-called climate change, environmental crooks and thieves is what they really are. I know we referred to them as wackos before, but they're more than that. It's about money, and it's about power, and it's about control. And the other night, for example, I watched as Joe Biden gave a speech on climate change. There wasn't a word that he said that was true. Not a word. Well, I wasn't the only one to notice that. Tucker Carlson picked up on it. And folks, those people that track and register the amount of hurricanes we had, meteorologist, Joe Biden said there's more hurricanes now than ever. There's a huge increase. Well, in fact, the meteorologist said, no, they've been tracking this for over 100 years, and there's no rise. There is no increase. And so many things that Joe Biden has said are totally false. And so we're going to start tonight, and that's where you get to the new old religion, because it's a revival, if you will, of what the Apostle Paul spoke of over in Romans when he referred to as the worship of the creature and not the creator. And tonight we start in Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 through 4. And we read this, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you have built in me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things with mine hand made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that the poor and of the contrite spirit, and trembleth at my words." Now, he's making a point. He's saying, where's this house that of worship that you're going to build that can contain me? The entire universe can't contain me. And you're going to build me a house that can contain me? And then he said, he makes a point that here he's created all of these things out there. And then he goes on to say, he makes the point that his concerns are more with a humble man and a contrite man than any of creation, than any of the things that he's made out in the universe. When he created the universe, On the 6 days, the last thing that the Lord created was man. The man was the crowning event of his creation. And here, he's making a point that to him, to God, as he says, but to this man will I look even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my words. So that man who is humble and contrite spirit means more to God than all of the creation, all of the things he created out there. He goes on to say in verse 3, he that killeth an ox as if he slew a man. He that sacrificed a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Well, here he's making a point that the sacrifices of these arrogant people are only external compliances. In other words, that they did what was expected of them to do, but their heart wasn't in it. It was just external compliance. In their hearts, they were murderers, and they were idolaters, and they were perverts. And God shows mercy to the humble, but he curses the proud and the self-sufficient. And so he goes on and he says, I also will choose their delusions. And boy, this is what we're seeing today on a huge, huge scale. God has chosen the delusions today of those on the left. All of those that believe, and I'm talking about the wicked, that believe that they can reinvent all of creation. They want to undo whatever God has done. They want to undo it. They want to turn boys into girls and girls into boys. They want to destroy the family. They want to totally desecrate and the divine institution of marriage and the family. They want to have men give birth to babies. You see, if you're pregnant, you're not a man. These are people that are, God has sent them a very strong delusion. They're very delusionary out there today. The woke movement, if you will. The woke movement, when you have Coca-Cola telling the CEO that white people need to try to be less white. Where in the world did that come from? That come from God's not the author of confusion. That come right from the pit of hell. Talking about how you can be transhuman here now, where you can transfer, if you will, all of the DNA and the characteristics of animals to humans, where you have things like they call furries, where the AMA says that they don't really, they're not going to put gender, male or female, anymore on birth certificates because they're not sure that there are males and females. Folks, where in the world does that come from? That's absolute lunacy. And God said this, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. And so here, the disobedient, we see that today in spades. They want to undo everything that God has done. All of creation. They want to undo all of creation. They want to put windmills out in the oceans, and it kills the fish, it kills the whales. Here, I was just reading out there in the Netherlands where they had all of these big windmills. And, of course, the windmills, you have to have an oil base, you know, that lubricates the blades so they could turn. And those things are all leaking oil into the water. It's, it's crazy out there today. They have these things. Now they have these things where the flatteners for young girls who are starting to develop breasts, and they want to flatten them out so you can't tell they have breasts. This is crazy. This is crazy. It's insanity. And so now they want to put Tampax machines into boys' bathrooms now. They're doing that in some states. They're trying to pass that in Minnesota. Now they did it in Oregon and Washington, state of Washington, and putting Tampax machines in boys' bathrooms, folks. That's sick. That's absolutely sick. And so these are some of the crazy things that God has sent them strong delusions. He's chosen their delusions for them. Now, I want to go over to 1 Kings because today we have a real, real problem in this country. A major, major with lying spirits. And so here to give you a little rundown with this, it starts out with Jehoshaphat, the king, and Ahab. Ahab contacts Jehoshaphat and said, "Will you join with me, my brother, and we'll form a confederacy and go to war against Ramoth-Gilead?" And take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, "Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said unto him, "King of Israel, I am, thou art my people, as they, my people, my horses." Now, Jehoshaphat was king of Judah there. And so here now, Jehoshaphat says to Ahab, "Before we do this, though, I want to hear from God before I go to war with Syria. And I want to hear from God." So old Ahab, he calls his false prophets together, all his prophets of Baal. And then Jehoshaphat says, no. I don't want to hear from them. I want to hear from a prophet of God. And so Ahab says, "Well, we only have one, that's Micaiah. And Micaiah never prophesies anything good about me. He always prophesies negative about me." And so this is where we're going to pick it up, because Micaiah is a true prophet. Ahab was an extremely wicked man. And Micaiah would say what God had told him to tell. But Ahab's prophets would tell him whatever, they would say whatever they thought Ahab wanted to hear. They would tickle his ears. And so here we're going to pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 22, starting with verse 14. "And Micaiah said to the Lord," Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord said unto me, that will I speak." So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, "Micaiah." Now, you have to understand here, I better go back one more a verse or two, because you see, it was Ahab's servant. He goes to Micaiah, and he spake unto him, saying, "Behold now the words of the prophets, declare good unto the king with one mouth. And let the word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." In other words, he said, look, do like the king's prophets and tell him what he wants to hear. You know, just tell him what he wants to hear, not what he needs to hear. Forget what God says. Just tell him what he wants to hear. And he was actually saying that for Micaiah's sake, because Micaiah, he knew if Micaiah prophesied prophecy that the king didn't like, he could end up in jail or dead. And so here now, Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Now, here comes the king. Now, Micaiah and Ahab did not get along, and there was some sarcasm here. There was some sarcastic, as Micaiah answered Ahab. And he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go, prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into thy hand and the king's. Well, now, here Ahab could hear the sarcasm in his voice, because Ahab was such a wicked man. And so Ahab now is a little bit miffed at this. And he says, and the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. In other words, Israel shortly is going to be without a king. And they're without a king because, as we see, as we keep reading here, Ahab is going to get killed. And then he goes and he says, and they have no master, and let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit that stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. Now, folks, this doesn't mean that they're all in third heaven. Remember, God has technology far beyond, believe it or not, anything that man knows today. For example, in the book of Job, when the Lord called all of his angels together, who came with him but Satan? Well, Satan stood before him, but Satan was not in the third heaven, because Satan would have defiled the third heaven. So it was just like when we have these things, these teleconferences where you get in, you can look at the people and talk to them. God's technology is much better than that. Even though Satan could not physically be in the third heaven, he would be in the presence of God, because God's presence is, he's omnipresent. He's present throughout the universe. So here now this lying spirit comes before God. Now, why would a lying spirit, what would it profit a lying spirit? Well, God is the most merciful God, a most merciful God. And not only that, but the lying spirit, remember, they would just love to get a little vengeance back on these men, because guess what? That was the root of a lot of their problems. God made man, and the angels rejected, and they followed Satan. So here, and there came forth the spirit and stood by the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Well, so here, again, we have today, boy, do we have lying spirits today. Boy, do we have them. I mean, you know, all of the fake news media, I mean, it's just unbelievable how they look there, they sit there, they look directly into the camera, and they do, and they feed you what they call the narrative. We've seen, you know, again, that speech that Biden gave the other day, I don't think he said one word of truth in the entire thing. And again, remember the fake news media, how they said there was no election fraud. There was no evidence of any election fraud. What a lie. What a huge, huge lie. How they're telling you, I just heard them saying just this morning how the vax is safe. How the vax is safe and people should take it. It's ironic because yesterday, Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor of the mRNA vax, the inventor, was on Dan Bongino. And Dan had gotten the vax, and he'd also ended up getting the COVID. And Dan asked him, he said, should we take that? Is it safe? And Robert Malone, the inventor, said, no, absolutely not. It is not safe. It can make you sick or kill you. And so here now, as we continue to read, he says, now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord for me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go unto the inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah, and carry him back into Amos, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king of the sons, and say, thus say the king, put that fellow in the prison, and feed him with bread of affliction, and with water of affliction, until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O you people, every one of you. And so here now, he's making a point. Micaiah told him that God had spoken. So like those on the left today who don't want to hear the truth, their ears are itching for the sounds of lying spirits. And just listening to Tucker Carlson again, ripping Joe Bama to everything he said on that, because he didn't tell one bit of truth, not one. I want to go over to Job chapter 4. And this is another very interesting, because we're talking about here how the Lord is, how you have lying spirits out there, and today it again is more prevalent than ever. Now, we start off with this fellow named Eliphaz. Eliphaz was, he was supposedly one of Job's friends. And, you know, we all have people, we all know people that want to give us advice. And most of that advice isn't very good often. And I had a lady in the church that on three different occasions, she would stand up in the church, and she would rebuke me. She would while I was preaching. Which, if you have a disagreement with what the message, you wait till after the service. You don't interrupt the service. And I had told her about that, and I warned her not to do it again. And then I found out that she had was forced to leave several other churches for doing exactly the same thing in other churches. And here now again, I had heard from this woman recently, and she had more of her advice that she wanted to tell me how I should be doing my job as a pastor. Now, when you have situations like this, and here's the situation. This woman, her own children hasn't spoken to her in years. They refuse to speak to her. And why is it? Well, like she said, people don't want to hear. I make a lot of people angry when I speak because I'm speaking the truth, is what she says. But there's a time to stand up and there's a time to shut up. And you really should know what you're saying. And again, here, I had this woman who did not know what she was talking about. And so as we go through here, we're going to see this man Eliphaz. He's just that way. Now, he's decided to give Job some advice. And in doing so, well, let me just start. And Eliphaz, the Temanite, answered and said, "If we say, essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking?" And so here, that word means attempting, to attempt to speak here. And so he goes on to say, "Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands." He's talking about Job. He's saying, "Job, you've instructed many, many people over there, and you've, Job was a righteous man. He helped a lot of people. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled." In other words, he's telling Job, "Look, you're giving other people advice on how to be strong, how to stand your ground, and how to push back. But now, Job, it's happening to you, and you're collapsing. You're collapsing." Now, you see, now Job was much more righteous than Eliphaz. And so Job knew what he was talking about. Eliphaz didn't have any idea. And Eliphaz goes and he says, "Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off?" So Eliphaz, that shows you right there that he doesn't know what he's talking about, because he says that the righteous and the innocent never get persecuted. Well, they get persecuted, the innocent and the righteous, more than anybody. This is a very wicked world we're living in. And the innocent, the poor and the innocent and the righteous, they're the ones that suffer persecution, especially for the Lord's sake. And then he goes and he says, "Even as I have seen that thy plow iniquity and sow wickedness and reap the same, and by the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of their nostrils are they consumed. The roaring of the lion, the voice of the fierce lion, and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old lion perishes in the lack of prey, and the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad." Now is where he really shows his lack of discernment. He really shows a lack of discernment when he gets here. "Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine eye and my ear received a little thereof, and the thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me, and the trembling which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up." Now, this, folks, hear what he said. "I have experienced this on several occasions where I was in the presence of hardcore Satanists, in the presence of hard, and that's exactly what happened when I was in their presence. The hair on my arms and the back of my neck stood up. And here he goes on to say, fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up, and it stood still, and I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes, and there was silence. And I heard a voice saying, now here, Eliphaz is under the impression that, God or an angel is speaking to him. Again, the man does not have very good discernment. And the voice, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, you put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. Now, here, this is Satan, and Satan is making accusations against God. And he's portraying God as a vengeful and full of wrath, like himself, while ignoring God's grace and God's mercy. And then all the time, Eliphaz thought that he, again, was hearing God, hearing from God. Now, what did Karl Marx often say? Well, what do the Democrats right here say? Always accuse your opposition of doing what you're doing. Whenever you're going to do something dirty, a dirty deed, always accuse the opposition of doing that. And so here now, my aunt, if you will, I had a similar situation, not similar, but in a situation where something like this kind of happened with this dream. And but he goes on and he says, and this is Satan, and Satan is making accusations against God. Remember what Satan said in the garden with Eve. Did God say, you shall surely die? You shall surely not die. Now here he's making accusations against God. Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in the houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They're destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom. So Satan is saying, why in the world should you put your trust in your faith in a God? Look what he did to his own angels. If he did this, if he cast his own angels down to the pit, if he did that to them, and they're worth much more than you. Look at you. You're made out of the dirt of the ground, the dust of the ground. If he would treat angels that way, what makes you think that he cares anything about you? And that was the accusation that the devil was making against the Lord. And again, here we see that he comes to him in this delusion, in this illusion here. And so now I want to go over to Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made to like corruptible men, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Well, here, since from the very beginning of man's existence, the unseen God is clearly made known to the creation. Well, how do you do that? Well, folks, listen, even if you had never heard one word, have never even seen a Bible, or never heard the preaching of the word, those people, let's say in those the deep backwoods and the jungles, and I spent time there in the jungles in the Amazon, and we ran into people that hardly, if ever, saw white men. And so here, all of creation, he's telling you that, first of all these people have to do is look at each other and say, why do we look the way that we look? We were made this way in the image of who? That we had to have, we were made in the image of someone. All they have to do is look all around, and you see all the things that God has created. And by the way, God's not creating anything new today. He's not creating anything new. Creation has been completed. And so as we look through this, we'll see this. And so here, all of nature cries out and bears witness to man of the Creator. There has never been a creation, never, ever been a creation that didn't have a Creator. It can't happen. It just can't happen. And so here we go on. Adam and Eve and their children were right from the beginning. They were right here. Adam and Eve and their children were here from the very beginning. Folks, they didn't crawl around on all fours. They didn't carry clubs and wear skins from bear cats. They were not alley hoops. In fact, Adam and his kin were. Adam was an extremely intelligent man. I would have to say much more intelligent than the average man today. Adam was a prototype. Well, let me just say, Adam was given the chore of naming all of the animals out there. Now, that took quite an intellect to do that, right? And so here, it didn't take billions and billions of years that you keep hearing from these false teachers. Everything is as God has said. There is nothing new being created or nothing being annihilated. The first and the second laws of thermodynamics as the law, one as the law of conservation and the quantity of all things God created, and the law of deterioration. The first law reflects the completion of all of creation, the past, so that nothing new is being created today. The second law reflects the curse on creation because of sin. And of course, we find that if we go over to Romans chapter 8, and we see how the earth is winding down, everything is winding down. He goes on to say, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the Creator. The creature, that being man, is what he's referring to here, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And so now, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use unto that which is against nature. Now, the descent into evolutionary paganism is always followed by gross immorality, specifically including, if you will, sexual perversion, such as described in here in Romans. Ancient Sodom was notorious for sodomy, homosexuality. Today, it is very and more and more common today, especially amongst these college girls, to be lesbians. Being a lesbian, now others out there saying they're bisexual. They go either way. This is a perversion. And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do the things which were not convenient. And that word there actually means proper, things that were not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful. Listen, what I just read to you folks, and I hate to say it, but that right there is just about the platform of the Democratic Communist Party today in America. That's their platform. They have become so immoral, begone off such an antichrist. The entire Democratic Party has become the party of the Antichrist. Who knowing, now listen, because this is a very key verse in here, in this passage, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I remember a woman who used to run 5 abortion chambers. Her name was Carol in the state of Texas. And she told me she came out of the child killing industry. She got saved. And she came out and she told me, she says, whenever you hear these women say, I personally would never have an abortion, but I will not judge anyone that does. She said, that's code. That's code within the industry for I've had at least one. She says, so you can believe that they've had at least one when they say that. The other thing is, here, I remember Rick Warren and Obama. I remember when Obama, when he was running for president, and he made the statement, when he was making sure he was trying to get the nominee away from Hillary, and he said, him and by the way, Hillary said the same thing. All 3 of them, he said, him and Rick, he was at Saddleback Church with Rick Warren, and they both came out and they said their position on marriage and the family is that marriage, the institute of marriage, can only be between one man and one woman. Now, this is what Obama said, and Rick Warren said the same thing. That very day that they said that, I sit here on this radio program and said, look, the minute that he gets the nomination, the minute that he beats out Hillary in the primaries, he's going to change that. He's going to go all homosexual, all sodomite. And guess what? That's exactly what him and Rick Warren both did. That's exactly what they both did. And so here, by the way, Hillary, too. Remember when Hillary was running against Trump? What did she say? Her position on marriage and the family was marriage is between one man and one woman. Well, that's not her position now. That's not her position now, folks. They've all gone all sodomite. Now, I want to go now over to the reason for all of this so-called environmental wacko. What it's all really about? Okay, we know it's the Antichrist system, but if we go over to James chapter 5, and in James chapter 5, we read in verses, and I'll be there in a minute, 1 through 6. Now here, go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow will I... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong passage here, 1 through 6. From whence come... I'm in the wrong chapter. Okay, now I got it. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl, for your misery shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Now remember, who is really pushing this sodomite agenda? Who is pushing behind this, what they call global or challenge or climate change agenda? It's the club of billionaires. The club of billionaires. They're the ones behind this. These are the people that have 3, 4, 5 jet planes that fly all around, whose carbon footprint is 1,000 times of what yours and mine is. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eating. Your gold and your silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as if it were fire. You have escaped, you have heaped treasures together for the last days. So this is not good news to these people. He's telling them, because these are wicked, wicked rich men. And instead of helping the poor out there in times of need, they do exactly the opposite. They rob the poor. We see a good example of this. We played a clip a couple weeks ago on the radio program here about in Africa, in the Congo, the cobalt mines, where they've got hundreds and thousands of young children, working in the cobalt, and that radiation, is going to make them sick, and they're going to have very short lives. But they work all day long mining cobalt to get enough to eat. They one full day's work, they get paid enough to eat one meal for that day. Behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the lords of the Sabbath. Just think of how many people were put out of business when Joe Obama shut down the coal mines, when he shut down the gas pipe, the oil lines, when just thousands and thousands of people put out of work. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanting. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter, and you've condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. That's what's happening today here. How many, especially children, have been killed? And by the way, that report just came out. We had the former head, vice president and top scientist of Pfizer and we played him on the program here. And what was he saying? Well, he was making a pretty clear point here, and And that was, by the way, that was Mike Yaden, Dr. Mike Yaden. That the title of his message was "How Bad Is My Batch?" That Pfizer makes several different batches, some completely, totally toxic, much more dangerous than others. Others are just semi, and then some are literally just placebos. And so they mark out areas where they can test it. Now they go in with the ones that are very, very toxic kill shots, and they go into red states. In some instances, the kill factor from the shots in the red states is 11 times higher than those in the green states. Why is that? Well, it's because that's where they're sending the toxic, the worst, the most deadly of these batches. Now, I want to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'll get there in a minute. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, I want to read verses 7 through 19. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drawn men into destruction and perdition." This is what the prosperity preachers really need to think about this, what they're doing. We've seen so many of them that have become so wealthy, and then all of a sudden, their change. It's now they got to keep it. Now they got to hold on to their wealth because others are going to try to take it away from them. And I had a guy who I knew for a long, long time. And he told me, the hard part is not about getting rich. The hard part is staying rich, keeping what property you have. Because we're living more of a violent, if you will, Antichrist system every day. And it's, again, more. We have more and more billionaires. And at the same time, they want to totally eliminate, Joe Obama Biden wants to totally eliminate the middle class and just have two classes of people, the very, very wealthy and the very, very poor. And that's their end goal. That's what they're up to. And it's all about control. It's controlling, deciding who should live and who should die, playing God. This is what they're really all about. And so here, in 1 Timothy 6, we start with verse 7. "For we brought nothing into this world, and certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts have drawn men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Well, he's telling you here that Jesus had made a very clear point that you can't serve two masters. You can't serve man and mammon. You can serve one or the other, but you can't serve both. And he goes on, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight a good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep his commandments without spot, unbreakable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is blessed and the only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, who no man from has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Well, that word actually there, communicate, means to share. It means to give to others or to share. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Well, when you have money, or all the material things or power and influence that money can buy, when you love it more than God, it becomes your God. That's right. Potentate means the mighty one, or as we say, almighty one. You cannot see God in his glory and live, folks, in his all of his glory. But we will see the Lord Jesus and live forever. We're out of time for tonight. And so I just want to wish you all a blessed Sunday night. And I just want to wish, if you're out there and you're listening to me tonight, and you cannot say to me, Pastor, I know if I died tonight, I know that I'd go home to be with the Lord, then you're in danger. It's like walking on a spider's web over the lake of fire. Folks, you need to pray to the Father tonight. Ask for forgiveness of sins. Ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without and Lord. And if you do that, you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You will become a new creature. You've got God's word on this. And you'll be on your way to eternal life. Now you have God's word on all that. And so, what are you going to do? When you hear the preacher give the invitation, folks, the preacher is just the messenger. And see, what I'm telling you, see, a lot of people say, well, there you go, another invitation. Have you accepted that invitation? Because this will happen. There is absolutely no chance that it won't. No chance at all that the time is going to come when nothing else will matter to you except for your standing with the Lord. When you die, you're on your own. You're on your own. It's appointed to all men once to die, then the judgment. Well, we're out of time for tonight. So until tomorrow, good night. God bless. And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.